she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies. I guess it's time for me to spit out my chewing gum because we're going to do a radio show here. Time for the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with your host, David Blassingame.
Good morning.
Tammy Pickard.
What is up, dog?
Lane Lewis.
Good morning.
And me, Sybil. What is up, dog?
Dog.
We're here every Saturday morning taking your phone calls, 877-881-1053, and answering your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And as always, if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle, call Autoflex. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234, 888-234-1234. It is it's the last day of the month, basically, and so it's a great time to give us a call and get a car today. We're trying to end a big month in a big way, and we are making deals. So that all that good sales stuff out of the way, we'll move on to car news in a second. But seriously, if you're trying to get a car and you don't want to spend all day long getting it, you don't have to do that at Autoflex. We can do most of the work on the phone, and then you just come down and get your car. It's really pretty easy.
Yes, and we're going to get into a little bit later why you should never, ever buy a Lemon Law buyback. So we'll talk about that later in the show.
Ever.
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 Never, ever, never. But first, let's get into the worst cars of 2014. See if you're driving one.
Well, you know, here's the thing. The reason we picked on 14 is because the 15s haven't been out long enough to get ratings, but Consumer Reports list these as the seven worst cars that you can buy or lease in 2014. And what makes them bad? Well, usually they ride rough, they're loud, they may not be terribly fuel efficient, they are not fun to sit in and drive. So all of the things that you don't want in the car, these cars can give you. And the first one was sort of a surprise to me because you think about Toyota just building great cars, but it's the Scion TC, and it actually... Yeah, and it doesn't sell well either, by the way.
I love the TC. I used to have one the very first year it came out. I totaled it out, and I left the accident with just a bruise on my thigh.
Well, there you have it.
Very safe car.
It was a safe car. But it's really not a great handling car. It's really not a smooth riding car. And the exhaust sort of produces a roar in the background all the time that you have to learn to live with. And it's not the fastest car in the world either, and the seats aren't terribly comfortable. So, and the other thing you're going to notice about this list is most of these cars are small cars, but not all small cars made the Consumer's Choice, pardon me, the Consumer Reports list of worst cars. There were some small cars that did just fine.
I've not been in a Scion TC 2014 model, but I'll tell you, the one I had, I guess it was probably 07 or 08, whatever year that was, it was fantastic. I love the TC.
When they first came out, the Scion product, they just made a big boom, but apparently they are just, you know, they're being rated a little more stiffly now.
All right.
I don't know. Well, the smaller the car, the more likely you're going to hear
you're gonna
and
have
feel
this.
All
sure.
of that.
Sure.
And it won't be fast, usually, because it's a four banger.
No. And they don't all get great gas mileage. If you looked at the Chevrolet Spark, it only gets 31 miles per gallon from its 84 horsepower, 1.2 liter four cylinder engine. That's
that
nothing.
That thing should go all day.
It should, but it doesn't, you know.
Power be like a lawnmower.
It gets worse mileage than the midsize Mazda 6. So you don't save a lot of money. It's got a terribly rough ride. The cabin they describe as being noisier than a Metallica concert. And I thought that was cute. Front seats are so narrow and firm that it almost makes coach class airlines seem plush. So the Chevrolet Spark is the number two car in their list.
A real comedian wrote this article.
The number three car. Well, and I'm sure Consumer Reports has a lot of really funny guys. All those engineers just sit around. Anyway,
I like engineers.
The Scion IQ is the number three car on their list. Base price, $15,665. It scored a 36. These, by the way, are going down in order.
Is this out of 50?
Yeah. Yeah.
These are low scores. I hope to.
Yeah, no, it's out of 100.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe it was out of 50. Then the 42, 36 is not so bad.
The Scion IQ gets 34 miles per the gallon. It's decent, but it's not really great for a car that's small enough to park inside a shoebox. Brittle ride, poor handling, road noise, wind noise, engine noise as you're going down the highway. Rear seat, you can't put anyone in the rear seat. In fact, they say you have to step outside to change your mind. Another one of those comedians, yeah. And
it's not selling well for Toyota either.
No, 1,935 units sold so far for their 2014 when this report was done. So that's extremely low. Next, and this is a car that I knew was not going to be a great car. It's a Mitsubishi iMEV. It's their little electric car. It does not have great range. 59 miles is the with a 6-hour charge. It's got a really rough ride. It's very, very slow. And the interior fit and finish is not good at all on the car. So, again, that's the Mitsubishi iMEV. It scored a 35.
Just so you know, I read it iMEV. So I think it's not a team player.
Okay. Next, the Mitsubishi Mirage, base price somewhere between $12,995 and $15,395. It scored a 29 with Consumer Reports. $16,000 sticker price and good fuel economy of 37 miles per gallon overall may be an inviting image.
Good fuel economy.
But that illusion quickly dissipates into haze when you drive this tiny, regrettable car.
Ouch.
They're not nice. The Mirage is a hatchback that's actually built in Thailand and powered by a three-cylinder engine. And Three-cylinder.
Oh, cylinder. But yeah. Still, I didn't realize that was an option. I thought four was the smallest.
No. In fact, you can get them smaller than that. So, but it's way too slow and way too noisy. Smart for two. I can speak personally about this. We have a Smart for two at Autoflex.
We do. It's
we wrapped it with an Autoflex banner, and we keep it parked.
They drive it sometimes.
They do. It doesn't get good gas mileage. It has no back seat. It's very small. It's loud to drive. Now, here's the only one that really baffled me, and they did explain it. Their number one worst car was the Jeep Wrangler Unlimited.
Which is boo. This is...
Well, I do understand some of it, too.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. It is the cool factor that makes this car sell. Mm-hmm. It is not a great day-to-day driver. I've advised people...
For comfort.
Yeah, I've advised people not... If you're living in Plano or Frisco and working downtown, you don't want to drive one of these cars every day because they're loud and they're rough riding. But on the weekends... You want one.
Yeah.
When the weather's nice.
And they're great off-road. And when the weather's not nice, they've got great four-wheel drive capability.
And the off-road capability was not factored in here. It was simply, these people are talking about the ride.
Riding and comfort.
And comfort, luxury. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? If you're not all about the luxury, then don't worry about it. Jeep Wranglers are cool, and they have one of the best resale values out there.
Absolutely.
These others might do...
Right.
But these are still pretty cool.
And they're a little bit roomier. My husband's father has one, and I had to go pick up some lawn chairs one day, and they don't fit in the trunk of my Lexus. So I borrowed his Jeep, and it fit fine.
Well, and we're going to talk a little bit about your husband's BMW, because he and I talked this last week about some problems.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get into the lemon law discussions and that we're going to have later in the program and what to do if you think you've got a lemon, I had this same discussion with your husband earlier in the week, and so we can bring that up and talk about it.
Perfect. Autoflex Leasing fan text 43733. How did you guys come up with the name Autoflex?
Actually,
good question.
It came from the Richards Group, which is a large advertising agency, and it cost what we thought was all the money in the world when they came up with it.
$100.
Yes. No, it was more than that. It wasn't a whole lot by today's standards, but back in the mid-80s, it was a lot of money. And the Richards Group came up with the name Autoflex.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
But it's because of all the flexible lease programs that
exactly.
you offer.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And just, you have no idea. We could talk more about that later. Just... we've been talking about our new training program for our staff, and when I relive kind of, you know, whenever I'm coming up with what I want to teach, I just go back through all the things that we have figured out to try to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be flexible. You have to think outside the box. You have to think about the consumer, their needs, the end result, their satisfaction, so they'll come back. And it was a perfect name. Actually, Autoflex, when we think about all the things we can do for people.
Yeah.
Well, and I got a letter from a customer this last week who said that we were like a concierge service for automotive leasing and purchasing because it's a one-call thing, and we take care of everything else, and we offer alternatives. You go to the Chevrolet store, they're going to tell you Chevy's great. You go to the Ford store, Ford hung the moon. The Mercedes is the greatest car ever built, but the reality is there are good cars and bad cars, just like the list we just went through. Some of those cars come from manufacturers that make really, really great cars, but they all aren't great.
Everybody has a fail, and that's how you learn.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So when you call us, we'll tell you about the good, the bad, and even the ugly.
Yes. No ugly. There's no ugly.
Pontiac Aztec, anybody?
Everything is beautiful.
All right, we're going to take a quick time out, but we'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back. This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Lane Lewis, Redbeard, and me, Sybil. Phone number 877-881-1053 or send us your Autoflex Leasing fan text at 43733. And you can and should call Autoflex when you're looking for a new ride. What are those numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. And if you're wanting to do a lot of work online and not spend a lot of time with someone, you can go to autoflex.com where you can build any car that you might want to build and send us those specs so we can start working on it. You can apply for a lease or a purchase or a flex buy online. You can get a free Black Book appraisal on your trade-in right there at autoflex.com. Free of charge, a real Black Book appraisal. You do have to fill out a little bit of information so we have a pretty good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll send it to you.
You can also follow along with all the stories we talk about if you click on the Facebook page at autoflex.com. And we just did the list, Consumer Reports, their worst cars of 2014. And we're getting lots of replies now on the fan text. Somebody says, why was Jeep Wrangler rated the worst? I got one on Valentine's Day of 2013. What do you know about the Jeep Death Wobble? That's from Tracy.
I've not heard about the Jeep Death Wobble in years and years.
Never heard
that,
that
was something that was from
that
the
dance?
I think the 90s.
Wobble, wobble.
And it was wobble, it had to do with the front suspension being loose and setting up sort of a harmonic swing in the front wheels, and it was problematic. I don't know of anything recently. I personally love the Wrangler. I just advise people that if you're going to drive long distances every day in it, to be prepared for it not being a Lexus or ride the way that a Lexus does, you know?
Mm-hmm. But the other question was, why rate these Econo cars on a luxury level? True, it's somebody else's article. It's not our opinion. We're just giving you the feedback. So you have to compare these models, really.
Well, and the other thing is they have a scale of 1 to 100, and they rate every single car.
Mm-hmm.
And they buy one of everything every year.
That's true. It's Consumer Reports.
And so it's Consumer Reports. So they're going to rate every car out there on that 1 to 100 scale, and they set the parameters for the scale, and it's their rating.
And they never threw in luxury. That was our word. They didn't give us the, instead of this, choose this car.
Mm-hmm.
But we can probably share some of that with you. I think just, you know, you get what you pay for. So if you need to spend less money on a car, which so many of us do, and honestly, they are not an appreciating asset. So think about that. Then go ahead and just accept that, but don't expect them to be this. That's all.
Autoflex Leasing Fantex. Generally, can Autoflex provide a more affordable lease plan than going direct? Well, it's according to what going direct means, because the costs involved in buying and selling a car, especially in selling or leasing a car, say, they vary a great deal according to where you get the car. If you get it from a big place that has 5,000 cars in stock, their cost of operation is going to be a little bit higher than, say, ours, which has no cars in stock. We actually do have used cars, but we don't have a vast array of new cars because we don't stock them. We get what you want when you want it. So the cost of doing business can be a lot less just because of the cost of overhead. The other thing is we have multiple lease plans, and most places you're going to go will have one lease plan. And if you look at the ads on TV, it's going to be $199 a month, come down, and then you get there and you find out that's with $5,000, $6,000 out of pocket to get to that payment. We don't do that. I mean, it's silly to put money into a lease. The idea in leasing a car is you spend as little money as possible to drive the car you want to drive. So if you put a down payment on a lease and say somebody steals it in a month, guess what happened to your down payment?
Gone.
Yeah, because you have no equity. You don't build equity in a lease. The idea is not to build equity. You keep your money, let the car depreciate, and the only thing you pay for is the car depreciation. So, yeah, we can be very, very competitive on almost everything out there. Now, there are cars that we can't be competitive on, and we'll tell you, and we'll tell you where to go get it. I mean, that's our business.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main reason people enjoy coming to us to do business, you know, we've got comparable programs. Sometimes they're better for a consumer. You know, you have to look at everything. But the fact that we offer all makes and models, and you'll really get more of an objective and unbiased. My opinion is for the client, my choices, my decisions, my suggestions are made for the customer.
Right.
Right? Because I'm not stuck with one product. I have everything available, new and pre-owned. So based on your needs, you know, and we'll have a little interview. If you, you know, whenever I would talk to my clients, we'd really consult with you. What is your typical trade cycle? What are your driving habits? Who's going to be using this car? What's it for? How are you going to maintain it? And your overall cost, and what's your expectation to spend on this car per year for fuel, for insurance, for tires, et cetera. And then you get a feel for what the customer needs, and then you can say, okay, well, this is not, this doesn't fit you really. Let's look at this other vehicle over here. And then being able to compare all the different brands that you do want to see. If there's a few different cars you want to compare side by side, you can do it at one place. So how much is your time worth is another thing. And then being able to come back to us when you want a different product and you don't have to start fresh and find somebody that you trust and knows what your, you know, what your needs are and that will cater to you, like the concierge service.
Right.
If we need to come to you, we will. So, I don't know. I think we make it pretty simple. And, you know, I was looking at leases again, and I was comparing, you know, what is out there for the factory program compared to ours. And what I find is I'll keep a car longer because I drive no miles.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get tired of it. It's not worn out. So I want a longer-term lease so my payment can be a lot lower, and I can maximize my upfront investment of sales tax. That has to be done. So I don't want to do that every 15 minutes is what it feels like on 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, it just happens too fast. So mm-hmm. I want to stretch it out a little bit longer.
But that's the great thing about AutoFlex. There's so many different programs, and like you said, every make and model. I mean, I think everybody's had the experience of going to a traditional dealership and you say, well, I want this car with this color interior and I want it to get this many miles. And they go, well, I've got this car. It's not exactly what you want.
Exactly.
But
yeah. Our business was built around getting people cars that they were told they couldn't have, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's really right.
There.
And right now, I mean, yesterday, one of our guys delivered a Maserati in Florida to Jabbar Gaffney, by the way.
Is he a pro athlete?
Yeah, he's a ball player.
Sup, Jabbar?
Yeah. So anyway, he couldn't find the car. So we found the car and delivered it to him. That's what we do. We also deliver a lot of Honda Accords, Chevrolet Camrys, and Toyota Corollas,
mm-hmm.
you know?
But what you won't get, you know, if you...
Toyota Camrys, yeah.
What'd you say?
Sorry, I just screwed it up.
If you've been to a dealership and you still want to go compare, you know, let's say you want to drive the Camry, but then you tell the salesperson why, you know, oh, I want to drive the Honda, I want to drive the Nissan, whatever. Well, they'll probably start selling you off of that product. But there might be some really valid parts to that product, you know, they just want to sell their product,
of course,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll offer all of that. Hey, have you thought about this? This one has a bigger discount. This is a huge incentive over here. And for one of my clients a long time ago, she's a realtor, and she could write her car off for business use. That was her equipment. So I helped her structure this lease to benefit her the best way she could financially. And she hadn't thought about any of that.
Yeah.
I came up with this great idea, you know.
Well,
and then her husband, the financial planner, calls me and he says, well, tell me about what you were telling her. And I explained it to him. He said, let's do it. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, most places you go in to get a car, to lease a car, they don't really understand business, the business of leasing cars or what you can do if you own a business or if you have business use that is unreimbursed. There's a lot of different ways that you can look at that and structure the lease so it can save you more money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, than just the payment. You
yes.
know?
And I don't feel like you get that everywhere.
No, of course not.
I think it's just at the one place.
Okay. let's talk about the latest death from a Takata airbag, so. And it happened on January the 18th. There was a minor accident on January the 18th of a 2002 Honda Accord, and the airbag deployed. It involved a ruptured Takata airbag inflator, and the driver was killed. So I think that's number six that they have directly, sixth death that they've directly related to these Takata inflators. It happened in Cypress, Texas, and of course, down by Houston, Texas is one of the areas that was notified that there was a problem with these airbag inflators, and that if you live in an area of high humidity especially, the problem was either bigger. Lane mentioned earlier that his girlfriend?
No, it's just a friend of mine.
Okay.
Yeah, she had to take her car in for an airbag issue, and I asked her, I was like, do you know what it is? Because we talk about it, it seems like every week, I think, and I asked her, she's like, nah, I think it's some weird name. And I was, is it Takata? Is it Takata? Please take it in right now, because every week
in fact,
like somebody else has been killed by one of those things.
I know.
Yeah.
Well,
this guy is not the first owner. They've been mailing the notifications to the first owner. But these used cars, they change hands multiple times. So people pay attention when the news comes on and says, check it out, go.
So now the government is involved. Senator Bill Nelson from Florida, Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, and Edward Markley of Massachusetts have called for a comprehensive update on the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration's oversight of the recall. But here's the reality of it. There's 24 million cars with Takata airbags worldwide. And these go back to 02 at least. And it's almost impossible for anyone to notify every single owner, because some of the cars have been shipped overseas, some of them are scrapped, some of them have had four, maybe five owners since then. And so it's incumbent upon the people driving cars that may be affected to check it out.
How do they find out?
Well, they can go online to Honda's website and put in their VIN number. You can go to the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, put in your VIN number there, and they have a listing of all the recalls that might be affected on your vehicle.
I think that it is the Takata, whoever's responsibility, to notify every... There should be commercials on television. It just shouldn't be news reporting this information. They should put commercials, ads, billboards, newspapers. It should just be everywhere when something like this happens, I think.
I agree, but their side of it is probably, I don't want to spend money for bad publicity.
Well, I don't think you're going to have a lot of choice.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, and for the folks that haven't listened to the show regularly, if you have a Takata airbag and the inflator is defective, basically it's like having a shotgun fire at you while you're sitting in the driver's seat, because it comes directly from the steering wheel and the shrapnel fires into your body in this case. In this case, a piece hit him in the neck, and that's what caused him to die.
Here, everybody that hears this story, please post something on all of your social media and ask everybody else to spread it and say, if you have a car, if you drive a car, would you please check out whether or not you need your airbag replaced?
If you have a Takata airbag.
That you don't know if you have it. It doesn't say Takata right there on the...
No, you never see it.
So if you have a car...
Go to the NHTSA website. It's official government website.
Exactly.
Enter your VIN number
into the recall area, and it'll tell you.
Everybody, just any car, I don't care what it is, check it out. Any kind of recall, not just this one, but, you know, if it's going to put your life at danger. And, gosh, nobody wants to have an accident anyway.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Fiat Chrysler has announced that it will air three Super Bowl commercials during Sunday's game. The first one will air in the 2-minute warning of the second quarter. The second and third will air in the third quarter of the game. This year, BMW, Kia, Lexus, Mercedes-Benz, Nissan, and Toyota are expected to run ads. All of the other manufacturers, and there's a ton of them, are expected not to run ads. And as we know, GM is actually going to give a Chevrolet Colorado to the MVP, but they're not running ads. And I wonder if the cost of running the ads from a good value proposition makes sense, because it's terribly, terribly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that NBC has sold out the ads, so they're not hurting, that's for certain.
I got to tell you my plan. Since I don't have a dog in the fight, Cowboys aren't playing.
Right.
I'm not watching the Super Bowl.
What?
I'm recording it so I can fast forward through the football
and watch the commercials
and the halftime show.
With Katy Perry and Lenny Kravitz and Missy Elliott.
That's right. It's all I care about. Plus, when you go to those Super Bowl parties, it's too noisy and crowded.
Yeah, you don't get to actually watch. You're talking to people about...
Right. So you can go to a party
they went on recently.
But I don't care about the game. So I'm going to just fast forward to the commercials and the halftime show.
Pretty smart.
Plan.
Autoflex Leasing Fan Text, what model Accords are affected by the issue, the airbag recall? My wife drives one daily. Go to the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration. They have an area for recalls. You can put the VIN number for your car into the recall area, and it will tell you if it is affected by that or any other recall.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, let's talk about the lemon laws and what to do if you're affected by one and how they work. We'll return to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Autoflex Lease, oh yeah.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Redbeard Lewis, and me, Sybil. Phone number to the studio, 877-881-1053, or send us an AutoFlex Leasing fan text at 43733, and you can and should call AutoFlex. What are the numbers, David?
Either 817 or 972-234-1234. 888-234-1234 out of the area. As always, autoflex.com, where you can follow along on all the stories we're doing this morning. And there's a lot of really cool videos, the most viral videos of the week having to do with automobiles. And if you dig down a little bit, you will find a great compilation of Russian dash cam videos. And it will make you really appreciate the people on Central Expressway that you thought were idiots.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
My husband, Mr. Summers, called AutoFlex earlier this week because he thinks he might have a lemon.
He's got a problem with his car, and it's recurred. And the first thing I advised him to do was go online and type in the problem that he had. He was told what it was by the BMW dealer, and see what he found. And what we found together was a number of people that had the same problem. So first of all, if you have a problem that's recurring with your car and they don't seem to be able to fix it, go online and see what it says there, because there are user forums and these guys will type in everything that's ever been wrong with their car. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're very open about that. And secondly, look for commonalities, because your husband was told it was one thing that caused it, but when we looked online, other people had been told a myriad of other things that had caused the exact same problem,
mm-hmm.
which might mean they don't know what it is.
Well, basically what's happening is his car shuts off every now and again, about every 6 months or so, and then the screen will pop up and it just says drivetrain malfunction, and
exactly.
It won't start. And it's been chalked up to fuel pump, it's been chalked up to battery, it's been chalked up to carburetor, I mean, just a bunch of random stuff.
So did here's the first thing.
Did he reboot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the first thing. Never, ever, ever, never... Is that Taylor Swift?
Ever. Yeah. Ever. Getting back together.
Buy a manufacturer's buyback car. Never buy a Lemon Law buyback car. Ever, ever.
Ever, ever.
Hand raised. How do you know if it's a buyback or not?
They have to tell you in the state of Texas.
Do you have to ask, though, or they
no,
must disclose
they
it?
They must disclose it.
Okay.
And in some cases, they must hang a placard either on the rearview mirror or have it in plain sight somewhere on the car that says this is a manufacturer's buyback car. Now, here's why you don't want to buy a Lemon Law buyback. First of all, a Lemon Law buyback has been taken to the dealer a number of times to try to repair the problem, and they have been unsuccessful in doing that. So at that point, we'll talk about the hearing process, but there's a process, and then the manufacturer has to buy the car back, and then they try to fix it again, and they put it out for sale.
And guess what else? They never buy them back before you sue them.
It's exactly right.
Them.
Yeah. Well, the whole process is a lawsuit.
It's not fill out a form. And,
yeah.
Yeah,
no.
I guess it is. It's a lawsuit.
It's a lawsuit. So here's the deal. They try to fix the car. They end up having to buy it back. They try to fix it again, and then they put it for sale. So if you see a Lemon Law buyback car for sale, understand that whatever was wrong with it before is probably still wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
If they could have fixed it, they wouldn't have bought it back.
They sure would have fixed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because it cost a lot more money to buy the car back than to fix it. And I've seen cases where, in extreme cases, they absolutely couldn't figure out what it was. And in one case, it was a water leak. And they said, well, we'd have to disassemble the car to find it.
Rebuild it.
And it would be cheaper to just buy it back than it would be to disassemble it. They never found the cure to it. So if there's a car for sale, whether it be by an individual or by a business, businesses have to disclose it. If it's by an individual, make sure you see the title, both sides, and look on the front of the title for any kind of branding about buyback, Lemon Law, manufacturers, repurchase, anything like that. And then if you want to buy the car, you can, but it's worth about half what it would normally be worth.
Just like one of those salvage title cars.
Exactly.
And the reason is why it's worth that truly is get ready for the problems.
Right.
And the expense of... Now, they will extend the factory warranty and so forth, but again, it's your time and hassle.
And it is a hassle. You
maybe
get stranded. You have to figure out where to...
Could you imagine?
Yes, I can. I'm kind of dealing with it.
Well,
yeah.
Indirectly.
Well, and you are. And so let's talk a little bit about the process, because... And you can get this online, but in Texas, if there's a defect to the car that substantially impairs its use, its market value, or its safety, you may be eligible to get the car bought back by the manufacturer under the Texas Lemon Law. Now, you have to allow the manufacturer, which would mean a car dealer, a reasonable number of opportunities to repair the defect, and then you can file a case. Now, it's going to cost you $35 for a filing fee, and you have to meet several different – you can meet several different criteria to determine whether or not it's eligible. The car, first of all, has to be within factory warranty, or the first occurrence of the problem has to have occurred during factory warranty, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of y'all's car, it's still in warranty.
Right.
So there's that. The four times test is the first thing they look at, and you pass the four times test if you've taken your car to a dealership for the same repair twice for the same problem within the first 12 months or 12,000 miles, whichever comes first, and twice more during the following 12 months or 12,000 miles, and the problem continues to exist. The serious hazard test is a little different. The serious hazard test is a life-threatening malfunction that substantially impedes your ability to control or operate the vehicle normally. It creates a substantial risk of fire and explosion. It could be that you can't control the car. It can happen once during the first month or 12,000 miles, and then once more during the next 12 months or 12,000 miles, and the problem continues to exist. Finally, the 30-day test. If your car has been in the shop for more than 30 days in the first 24 months or 24,000 miles, and the dealer does not provide a loaner for you, you may file under those conditions. Now, the Texas Lemon Law covers cars, trucks, motorcycles, motorhomes, all-terrain vehicles, and travel trailers if they are registered in the state of Texas. So it covers pretty well all motor vehicles and travel trailers.
If you have to do all those tests, the four times test, the serious safety
hazard? No, any of.
Oh, okay.
Any of the above. So you can file a lemon law complaint by filing with DMV, and you can get the forms online. In fact, you can just, they've got a click-on form. You can fill it out online. You pay a $35 filing fee, and then it literally becomes a court case, and they assign what they call an examiner, but it's really a judge, to the case, and they hear both sides, and they make a decision.
Go
ahead.
No, you.
Well, if they decide to buy the manufacturer has to buy the car back within 60 days, they let you know. If they decide the manufacturer doesn't have to buy the car back, you may still appeal that. And if you want to, you have to appeal it in Travis County, down in Austin. And even if you lose that, you can still appeal again.
But
so there's three appeals you can do. Two
but there
more
are lots of losses. I apologize for stepping on that. But at the end of the day, there are a lot of cars that qualify that truly are lemons that don't get bought back.
Because of the judges?
Yeah.
Verdict.
It's just a hard thing.
It's not
thing,
easy.
You know,
it's a hard thing
difficult
to get them to buy them back.
It's not
yeah
such a snap.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it'd happen all the time. Mm-hmm. They will not do it ever if somebody's just displeased with the car.
Right.
And
a
no,
lot of
exactly
that will come out.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That there are true, real problems. So let's talk about when you do trade a car, what to do. Because this happened with one of my employees, actually, recently. She received a bill for a traffic light, a traffic violation, a red light camera.
Right.
After she had already traded in her vehicle, her previous, she's on her third car. This was two cars ago. And she's just now getting this bill. And she's like, well, wait a second. It was right around the time that she traded it. So she's having to get the exact date that it happened. And she's getting it through the lease bank because when those bills are sent, who owns the car? The lease bank. Then the lease bank pays it mm-hmm automatically. They don't fight it. They
right
pay it. And then they track you down and give you the bill. And then you're like, wait a minute. So when you trade a car, here's a couple of pieces of advice. First of all, take the registration plate off the car. The dealership might say they'll do it. People make mistakes. They forget things. You make sure that you leave with that plate and it gets destroyed.
The license plate?
Yes.
The license plate.
Yeah.
Okay. The front and back license plates. Take them off the car. When you trade it in, take them off the car.
Legally, the dealer has to take them off. We take them off, and we strike them all up and down with the marks a lot.
With the
so
permanent
markers. Permanent
markers,
so it can't be reused.
And then they go to the recycle or whatever, so nobody can get them.
Gotcha.
Okay? But you can take that off, too. I don't trust anybody to do what's going to wind up being my end responsibility. I don't want to go through the hassle, so I will handle it myself. If you're that person, fine.
And the plate can't be reused.
Cannot be reused. Yeah, so, don't take it off and stick it on another car. It's not going to be valid. Okay. So take your plate off your car. That's going to save you a lot of things, from the toll violations to the red light camera tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you need to do is go to the DMV and submit a transfer notification within 30 days of the sale. So within 30 days, go online, submit your transfer notification online. You could print off the form and mail it in if you want, but I think online's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. And that eliminates any issues for parking tickets and things that can happen. Because sometimes you'll trade in the car. The car may or may not be sold to another individual. It could be wholesaled at the auction. And then that wholesaler decides that he's going to drive it on the tollway.
Yep.
And you get the bill. Mm-hmm. And yes, eventually you can get out from under all of it, but just save yourself some time in advance and take the plate off and go online and fill out the form and you're done.
Quick, easy steps.
There you go.
Yeah, and it prevents a lot of problems later, because it can be very problematic. Because when you trade the car in, if the dealer doesn't pull the plate and he sells it to a wholesaler, the first thing you're going to find out is the wholesaler loves the toll roads. You know.
Oh, right. And when it comes to the toll tag, you can also go online to the NTTA at any time. Whenever you get a new vehicle or if you get a new license plate, you have to update the toll tag account. So you can go to your online account management by contacting NTTA customer service, or you can call them at 972-818-NTTA. 972-818-NTTA. That's 6882. There you go.
Their reps are so friendly, too. Every time I call, they're super nice.
Are you being serious?
Yes. Oh, okay. Good job, NTTA.
No, they are very friendly.
Yeah, very helpful.
Couple of Autoflex Leasing fan texts. I have a 2000. What is it?
2007 Dodge Ram?
Yeah, I have a 2007 Dodge Ram. Just checked on the site and found out that it has an airbag recall. Thanks, guys.
Yay!
You're welcome.
Yeah. And drive very carefully on your way there.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm not trying to be funny. It's serious.
Autoflex Leasing Fantex, my car has over 200,000 miles on it. Is it better to keep it or trade? It's a Nissan Maxima 2003. First of all, that's a great car because it ran that far. But the real question is safety equipment. Because your car has almost no safety equipment compared to current day vehicles. Mm. Even a car 2 or 3 years old is going to have phenomenally a lot more safety equipment than yours does. If you look at the statistics in the last 3 years, our fatality rate on automobiles has fallen almost a third in the last 3 years, and that's because we're building safer cars now. Mm-hmm. The electronic skid control keeps SUVs from rolling over. The airbags protect you during collisions.
For the most part.
For the most part, yeah. There's a number of things that new cars have that old cars don't have that, God forbid, you should be in a wreck. It really, really can save your life. So,
and a lot of those things just eliminate having the wreck, like vehicle stability control, like you said.
Exactly.
But since you do have that 2003 Nissan Maxima, please go to the website, put in your VIN to find out about the airbag recall, because maybe you weren't the first owner. But get that in and make sure you get your airbag replaced.
Because
I sure understand driving with no payment is fun.
And the website that we talked about is the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration's website. You can reach them quite easily. They've got a recall area. Also, all of the manufacturers on their manufacturers' websites, they have recall areas, so you can input your VIN number and you can find out if your car's been affected. We have another texter that texted in that was worried about the airbag recall and found out he was fine there, but he had a tie rod recall. So it's good to get a check. Just put your VIN number in. It costs nothing.
Mm-hmm. Easy breezy. It's free.
And that was on a Dodge Durango, by the way. So call Dodge if you're driving one of those. Got to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
Back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing, with David Blassingame, Tammy Pickard, Redbeard Lewis, and me, Sybil. Redbeard is catching on, by
it
the
is.
Way. His nickname?
It is.
Mike Dingus and Jesse Hawley coming up next. We're just in here during that break, and they love the name Redbeard.
Hey, Redbeard.
Yeah, I think it's caught on.
Giving him a hard time, too, saying he can't live without Monster energy drinks. So.
Well, every Saturday, Sunday. It's a long day.
I hope you had one today, Redbeard.
I got it right here.
All right, David, what's on the fan text?
Well, we've got one. I have a 2002 Honda Odyssey. Went to the website. It is subject of recall. Thank you guys much.
Mm,
there you go.
Perfect. Another Autoflex Leasing fan text asks us, Can I trade in and get a lease? Can I trade my car to lease a car?
Absolutely. We love trade-ins. Hopefully it's a trade-in that someone else will like so we can then make two people happy, you and the new owner.
Which I want to mention real quick because I was talking to one of my guys about our wonderful program at work where we can data mine in our database of vehicles, customers that are leasing, purchasing, whatever. So if there is something specific you want, we can look in our database of vehicles to find basically that used car. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about used cars here. And then we'll call that client, see if, you know, we'll figure out if they're in a good position to trade. And then if they are and they want to, that opens up another car for you to look at.
Perfect.
So
another AutoFlex Leasing fan texter asks about vehicles qualifying for HOV access and discounts. Do electric vehicles qualify?
I don't find anything. I had to check online for that because there's just very few electric vehicles out there in Texas, especially. In California, they do. I don't find anything online that says they do in Texas. My suggestion is go online and look. We do lease Teslas, but no one's ever asked me that.
Mm-hmm. I think our brilliant, intelligent AutoFlex Leasing fan texters will tell us. Somebody knows.
Yeah.
But I don't think so. I don't think in Texas we get any kind of a break because we're all about the gas, about the gas.
No EVs.
No EVs.
Okay, let's get into driver death rates because they're down, which is good.
Yes.
Well, and we talked about it a little earlier. Driver death rates are down in the last 3 years by one third, and it's because we're building safer cars now. The numbers are startling when you look at cars that were built in the 70s and 80s and the rates of fatality there and the rates of fatality with the new cars. They estimate that if cars had not changed in the way they were being built since 1985, we would have had 7,700 more deaths this year than we did. So if you want a good reason to get a new car or a newer car, especially if you're driving a car that was built in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, then look at the safety equipment because that's the reason. And everyone knows that it's not going to happen to them, but it happens to somebody, and you could be that somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm. I found this interesting. 9 vehicles, the 2011 model year or equivalent earlier models, had driver deaths of zero.
That's exactly right. And most of them are going to be SUVs, and they're mostly going to be four-wheel drives. And here's why. They don't sell as many of those. And so the raw numbers are going to be lower on those cars. But the reality is, if you go back 8 years ago, there was no vehicles that had no fatalities.
So we're making progress.
Yeah, we're making a lot of progress.
You're right. They are all four-wheel drives and all-wheel drives. So, yes, yeah. It does have a percentage of, except the Honda Odyssey.
Right. That's the only one on there.
And the Kia Sorento is a two-wheel drive, and it's on there. And they haven't sold as many of those.
But again,
they've sold a boatload of Honda Odysseys.
Yeah, they have. So the reality is new cars are very, very much safer than old cars. Huge number.
Good deal. Cool. We need a little Havana music for this next story because we're talking about Cuba.
Yeah, you know, everyone, if you're in the car collection area, if you're a car collector, everyone looks at Cuba and they think, oh, my God, it's going to be a treasure trove of what's called barn cars. If you're a collector, you understand barn cars and you get barn fever. The old story about the guy that buys the 300 acres and finds a barn in the middle of it and opens the barn and there's 200 classic cars in there. Thank you. Well, Cuba is full of older cars. But here's the rub. Most of them are old Chevrolets and Fords, and they are not collector's cars. Now, there is some talk about a Gullwing SL being found or maybe an old Jag being found. But again, the reality is that the government of Cuba was broke for many years. And they actually went out and found all of the collector's cars they could find, and they appropriated those cars, and they sold them to collectors, and the government kept the money. Guess what? That's how they do things down there. So it's if it's yours, it's theirs, right?
But they're hoping that some of these cars went underground. They're hoping that some of the people that caught wind of what was happening to the good cars hid them, and maybe they'll find something good.
Well, because here's the thing: if you found a mid '50s Mercedes-Benz Gullwing, and it was all rusted out, but it still had all the plates, all the VIN plates, and everything, it's worth it to buy that car and totally rebuild it because that's $500,000 car.
They can sand off the rust, right?
Yeah, well, or just replace the panels, you know?
There you go. Oh, my gosh, we're almost out of time. I didn't even realize time flies when you're having fun.
It sure does.
Should we talk Hellcats or should we talk about millennials?
Let's talk about Hellcats because it's an interesting thing. There was a big story this last week because Ford came out and surprised everyone at the Detroit Auto Show with a new GT.
Ta-da!
And no one expected that. Now, Lexus had made a big deal about their new NSX, which is the greatest car maybe I've ever driven for the money, certainly. But Ford unveiled a new Ford GT, going to be about $200,000, going to be about 600 horsepower. The NSX is going to be $150,000 and about 550 horsepower. The big elephant in the room is you can get a Dodge Charger Hellcat for $64,900, and it's got more horsepower than both of them.
Ha-ha!
So it's according to whether you want the big panache, the big splash, because you're driving a Ford GT, everyone knows it's a couple of hundred grand. You're driving an NSX, everyone knows it's $150,000. Or you got out cheap, you only paid about $65,000, and your car will outrun both of them.
And you've got the cool name, Hellcat.
Yeah.
Because what am I naming my firstborn? Hellcat Summers.
Well, there you have
love
it.
Love that name.
Meow.
Were NSXs that expensive back in the 90s when they were first around? I didn't know they were.
They were expensive. I want to say yeah. 70
Six
grand.
Six digits.
Yeah,
okay.
70 back then.
It is still one of the best cars I ever drove, though. They just drove beautifully, and they were terribly fast for the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
very
great
fast.
Looking and very, very revolutionary looking. So, and the new one, again, you can go to Autoflex.com's Facebook, and you can see all the pictures of the new car, of the new NSX, of the new Ford GT. And then if you'll dig down a little bit, you'll find some articles on the new Hellcat.
And real quickly, since we're talking NSX, it turns out there's a woman behind the bold new NSX.
Yeah, actually, the design chief of the new Accord NSX is a woman.
Acura
NSX. A woman named Michelle Christensen. And she was the leader of the design team. She worked on this for several years, and they came up with this beautiful car that even though it's sitting still, it looks like it's going 100 miles an hour.
That's
so it's
true.
A great car.
She attended art school.
Oh. If you want to see the picture of it, head to autoflex.com and click on the Facebook page. And we've got all the stories that we talk about right there online.
And you can read a great story about Michelle Christensen and how she came through the automotive business and what she's done. And then her triumph with this new NSX, which is clearly, clearly a great car.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, real quickly, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. I bought a car a year ago and I want to lower my payments. Is there a way to trade it in or get a cheaper vehicle now?
Okay, so you've got a couple of choices, one of which may be a refinance, because I'm not sure what kind of interest rate you got, but a lot of people come to us and say, you know, we bought a car a year ago, we'd like to lower our payments, can we trade it? In some cases, you owe so much on the car, you can't trade it. It just doesn't make it practical. But you might be able to do a refinance on that car and lower your monthly payment. So it's possible. The other thing is we'll be glad to look at a trade, and maybe we can do a trade on it, or maybe we can refinance it as a lease or refinance it as a balloon and, again, lower your payment on it that way. So it's according to the car in particular circumstances. We actually have people that are very, very expert at working through these kind of situations. Give us a call.
That's right, 817 or 972-234-1234. Also, still getting some Autoflex Leasing fan text, so if we didn't have time to take it, please call. They can answer your questions at Autoflex today. We'll be back next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Thank you to Redbeard for David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. I'm Sybil Summers. This has been the Saturday Morning Test Drive brought to you by Autoflex Leasing. And I'm wondering how I get down the stairs.